This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a Wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, Wimpy, Wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, Hefty, Hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
Buying rental properties with a partner can be a great thing. I really believe that two people working together can accomplish more as a team than they could if they were individually doing their own thing. But you've got to have the right partner and you've got to set things up right. Otherwise, the odds are against you and things probably aren't going to work out. Today on the podcast, we're going to figure out what the secret is to having a successful partnership. And the way we're going to do this is with two different interviews. We're going to first talk to a husband and wife team that have been very successful in real estate, but they tried doing a partnership with another couple and things didn't work out very well. So we're going to see what they did wrong. And then we're going to compare that with another investor who has been building out his rental portfolio with a partner and everything is going great and he's really doing all the right things. So we're going to try to compare and contrast the two strategies and figure out the secret to building a rental portfolio with a partner. So let's take a real quick break. We'll thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll talk to our first guest. The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified. And I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors because the last thing you want to have happen is to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender, and she'll pre-qualify you for free if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. Are you looking for actionable steps to create wealth and passive income? As a top-ranked business and investing podcast with over 800 five-star reviews, the Passive Real Estate Investing Show is packed with strategies and insight for putting money in your pocket. Marco Santarelli from Narada Real Estate Investments brings his expertise and knowledge on both passive and turnkey real estate investing, and he provides listeners with helpful tools and tips to create the wealth you've always wanted. Head over to iTunes or Google Play today and subscribe to Passive Real Estate Investing Podcast or visit PassiveRealEstateInvesting.com. That's PassiveRealEstateInvesting.com. Our first guests today are Craig and Sue Ritchie. They're joining us from Reston, Virginia, and they had a partnership that didn't work out. So Craig and Sue, before we get into the details of your partnership, why don't you give us a real quick bio on yourself so that the audience can get to know who you are a little bit?
Sure. My name's Sue Ritchie.
And I'm Craig Ritchie.
And we've been married for a long time, and we've been in the real estate business for 20 years. And we started as real estate agents and slowly started buying our own personal rental properties. And it has evolved, our business evolved into the property management space as the real estate market changed. And now that's really our core business.
Now, right. When you first got started, you bought your first rental on your own. Both of you guys saved some money. You bought a property. And then tell me what happened. Like, how did you end up getting into a partnership for your second property?
So we bought our first one and we were really excited. We had wanted to do it for a long time. And we just were with friends having dinner. And this was at a time when a lot of people were buying property and the quote investors were in the market, you know, flipping and doing all this stuff. And we were just talking about it. And our other friend said, hey, you know, if you're going to buy another one or you're going to do it again, let us know. We'd be interested. So we thought, okay, that makes sense. And things were going well, or the place we picked first, which is one of the properties we still have, that was going well. And we ended up buying in the same neighborhood with them.
Okay. So now talk me through, because like, things obviously haven't it didn't work out with this partnership. And I want to see if we can maybe figure out where things went wrong, or maybe how people could set things up differently to maybe have things work out better for them. So, like, tell me about, like, how you structured your partnership. Did you have any kind of formalized agreement, or did you just find the property and just kind of figure everything out?
Well, we actually, they're good friends, and we had a lot of trust.
Okay.
So we probably,
that's the famous quote.
Right. We should have had, I won't say probably should. We definitely should have had a formalized agreement, but no, we didn't.
Okay.
We simply went in saying, you know, we'll do all the work. It's our business. You put in half the money and we'll share. You know, we'll share expenses, we'll share profits, we'll share whatever. But we always had the understanding of a long-term investment. Nobody was trying to make a buck off of it today.
Okay.
And none of that was ever the problem. Like, no, there was never any, you know, money type problems of, you know, sharing, or do we need to do this kind of repair or this. And there was never any of that that was the issue. It became more of just a personal mindset.
A stress issue that we went into it, you know, with a good relationship. And fortunately, we got out of it by, you know, with still a good relationship. They're still friends.
Okay, that's good. That's good. So what was the breakdown? Like did they just not see things the same way that you guys saw things? Or, like, where did things kind of fall apart?
So it's funny because this is now a common example, I mean, or a frequently used example in our business. But what it really comes down to is the landlord mindset and the risk, the willing to take on some risk, I guess, and tolerate the up and down of owning a rental property. Mm-hmm. So it, you know, things started to fall apart a little bit when there was a gas leak at a house, and, you know, that's obviously a big concern. But to me and Sue, because we're in the business, it's a maintenance and repair issue. Mm-hmm. You go in, you fix it, you solve it.
Right.
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 You spend the money. You don't play around with that stuff. You get it done right.
Yeah.
And they were all for all of that, but just the event was stressful. And then, you know, comes another event for something else and another event for something else. And the stress just built up to the point where they said, you know, this isn't for us.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because, like, you know, as a rental property owner, when there's a repair, to me, it's not stressful. It's like, let's just get it fixed and move on.
Right.
And
right.
I imagine you guys have the same mindset, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what we talk about, that landlord mindset is.
Yeah.
You know, do you see this as a business and are you okay with it? I mean, you know, we're not endangering people's lives. We're not doing poor repairs and saying, oh, I can save $50. We're going to do it right and get it done. But you have to have the mindset that these things will come up and you will tackle them and you'll get them done and you'll move on.
Right. Now, you ended up buying two properties with these partners, right?
We actually bought more.
Okay.
Yeah, we bought a couple others that we flipped more quickly, but two that we held and rented.
So things must have been going well for a period of time, right?
Oh, it was.
Yeah. Okay. How long did it take before you realized that maybe these aren't this isn't the right fit for us?
It was probably about a year.
Okay.
It was within that year, that the first year that we had the gas leak, and then we replaced the furnace and all the gas pipes and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, but it was about a year, and then it probably took us another year to kind of unwind things.
Okay. So what advice would you have for anyone that maybe is thinking about buying a property with a partner?
Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, having a written agreement. I mean, that, like I said, that wasn't the problem. Like that was never any of it, but that's just a smart thing to do. Mm-hmm. And now, knowing what we know now in our business, we wouldn't go into anything without a written agreement.
Right.
But just, you know, clearly define the roles first of all, but you just interview sort of the people you're thinking about and make sure that they have the same mindset that mm-hmm. you want.
Right.
You know, if you're going to do it together. And, you know, for us, if we did it again, because this is our business, we would assemble a group of people that were probably more silent and just put money in and we would make decisions.
Right.
Not everybody wants to approach it that way. But if you do it with somebody, it's easier. Just make sure you have they have the same tolerance and the same risk tolerance.
Decide up front who the authority is and who the silent partners are. And I would also define a method for buying one person out. If somebody wants to leave, here's the amount of time it will take. Here's how you're going to value their ownership, and here's how you're going to pay them.
Right, right.
So that the exit's already there. And, you know, fortunately for us, it was a real easy decision. We said, well, at that point, we couldn't buy the properties entirely ourselves. It was in the bottom of the market. We said, we'll sell the properties and keep the friends, because you couldn't keep both.
Right. Now, you know, one thing that's interesting is that, so you said if you do it again, you would try to have a silent partner. And it sounds like you were maybe thinking that without knowing it when you were getting started, because you said you put up half the money and you guys were planning on doing all the work, right? Like did you intend to have them doing work on the property or being involved?
That's actually a good point, because no, they probably weren't going to do as much of the repair coordination and things like that, but just knowing that these things were happening stressed them out.
Yeah.
So, you know, silent is an interesting word, because silent can mean I don't know anything that's going on, or I might put money in, but I might know this and still be stressed out. So.
Right. But now, because they're good friends, they were always in the loop as to what was going on.
Yeah.
And I know now that we managed, this was all really before we were managing properties and just as we were starting probably. But I know now that oftentimes it's better to tell people what happened and that it's solved than to tell them what is happening, because then they'll worry about it. And, you know, we've done this 100 times before. We know where we need to worry and where we don't. And they don't know that. So if you tell them too early, oftentimes they'll just sit there worrying about it.
Yeah, you're right. And they can't do anything. I mean, they're powerless. All they can do is worry.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that's really, really good advice. Awesome. Well, if anybody is looking for a property manager in the Northern Virginia area, what's the best way for someone to reach you?
So if you go to our website, it has all our contact information and also a lot of good resources. And that you can find us at www.richiepm.com, and it's spelled RICHEYPM.com. Or you can follow us on Instagram also, which is at Renting Reston, and we have information on our Facebook page, which is also Richie Property Management.
If you want to look that up later on, I've got links to everything Sue just mentioned on the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode208. Next up, we're going to talk to John Warren. John is a investor from Chicago. Hey, John, welcome to the podcast. So why don't we start with you giving us a real quick bio so we can get to know you a little bit better.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I'm so happy to be here. So I started out about 4 years ago. My wife and I bought our first investment property, like a lot of people do, you know, had to use a lot of leverage. It was a big moment for us. Since then, I've really grown quite a bit as an investor and have purchased, we're at 52 apartment units right now. And we've done that actually with two different partners. That have partnered up with us on three different properties. So bought a 9-unit, a 19-unit, and a 20-unit apartment building.
So you've had a totally different experience than Sue and Craig, and I wanted to kind of talk about how you set things up and how a partnership has worked out great for you, but it didn't really for them. So tell me about how you met your partners.
So the first partner that I partnered up with, I actually met at a local like RIA meeting, and we met, hit it up. We hit it off right away. He is a CPA and I'm a real estate agent. So we realized right away that we had skills that complemented each other really well. After that, we just kind of met up for breakfast with our wives, kind of get to know each other. And over the course of time, decided that we were interested in partnering together and started pursuing apartment buildings. And I think it took almost a whole year before we found something that we were able to buy.
Okay.
So it was kind of a long time.
So, I mean, that's actually kind of good. It gave you time to build that relationship and build the trust.
Absolutely.
When you went forward and actually bought the property, did you have any kind of written agreement?
So we created the written agreements as part of the purchase. We had an attorney who wrote up our operating agreements. And we spent a good amount of time looking over the operating agreement and deciding how it would be structured. It's a 50-50 partnership on that property. So that aspect of it was fairly simple.
Okay.
But I think having a good, strong operating agreement is important. Once we owned the property for a while, we both continued to revisit the roles and responsibilities and to make sure that everything was fair and that everybody was pulling their weight, which fortunately in this case, he and I are both hard workers and dedicated people. So it's worked out really, really well.
How do you divide the work? Are there certain things that you're responsible for and certain things that he's responsible for?
Yeah, exactly. It's easier said than done for sure. I think it's very hard to divide the work in some ways. We figured out early on that I am much more into the construction component, rehab, unit turns. That's something that I'm really into. He's a CPA, so there were some obvious things for him to do, like keeping the books, all the financial portions of it. So we split it up like that, and we've had to kind of play around with it to make sure that over time we continue to feel good about the part of the load that everybody is responsible for.
Right. Now, you had experience in real estate before you bought this property. Did your partner have any real estate experience?
He did. And that's one of the things that attracted us to each other is we were in a similar spot. So when we met, I had that 4-unit investment property that my wife and I had purchased together. He had a 2-unit out of state with his brother, and then he also had a triplex. Mm-hmm. So we were in a kind of a similar spot. We both had purchased a property. We had some management experience. You know, we were not completely new investors.
Yeah.
So we were in a good place to partner up.
Were you both kind of the same mindset? Like Sue and Craig said that their partner wasn't kind of in the same mindset. Like, so when a repair would come up, they would kind of freak out about it. Where, for me, like a repair doesn't freak me out. And I assume with your experience, a repair wouldn't freak you out. Were you both kind of in the same mindset that if something bad happened, you would just get through it?
I definitely think that's one of the things is we both were of the mindset where we will figure it out. Those kind of differences do come up though in partnerships. I think it's important to know that. And that's one of the things you have to work on in a partnership. I always joke that a partnership is kind of like a marriage. You know, by the time you have owned a property together for a few years, you know quite a bit about each other.
Right.
Even more potentially than you would about like friends and things like that. Just because you're working together constantly on challenging issues, you know, contractor issues, evictions, tenants, property managers, managing managers, things like that. So that's stuff that comes up for sure.
So do you have like clearly defined things like so that, you know, maybe if you have to deal with do you guys self-manage or do you have a property manager?
Yeah, it's interesting that you asked that. So we have a property manager for one of our properties because it's out of state.
Okay.
And one of our properties that we own together, we actually self-manage together.
Okay.
And so that one, it's funny because that one is in definitely a better area. So it's pretty easy to manage all things being equal, but there's still things that come up.
Okay.
Like you were asking about how you divide the work.
Yeah,
it's hard to divide the work on a self-managed property.
Right. So how does that work? Is one person kind of the go-to person if a tenant has an issue or there's some kind of maintenance request?
Correct. Yeah. So I handle all the maintenance requests and really that ends up being me that's on the phone with the tenants. But we try to avoid phone calls, which may sound terrible. We do a lot of text messaging.
Yeah, that's so much better. I'm a big fan of that. So much easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. We also have a resident manager there. So we can route some of the more just like smaller kind of annoying things through him. Like if the cable guy has to meet somebody or there's a repair person, we just have him meet them.
And then with your partner being a CPA, does he handle the money part of it, collecting rents and dealing with reports?
He does. Yeah. So when we initially took over the property, I was doing rent collection. And as we got into it, we actually turned 5 units in the first year of owning the property out of 9. So there was quite a bit of rehab going on. You know, got rehabbed a couple of the kitchens and baths. And during that time, we had a discussion where he agreed to take over the rent collection. So it was just one more thing off my plate. So that's been nice.
So is there ever any hard feelings? Like maybe you feel like you're putting in a lot of work and he's maybe not doing much, or maybe the other side where he maybe feels like he's dealing with late rent or different issues on his side and you're maybe not holding up your end of the bargain? Like, does that ever come up, or is everything?
I think, yeah, that's a good question. We have like a monthly, it's either a meeting or a phone call. And in that meeting or phone call, we discuss any kind of issues that arise. So I think the goal is to always have open lines of communication, and any issues that come up, we should discuss them early on so they don't become big issues. So I think we've done a pretty good job dealing with things as they've come up.
Now, do you refer back to your written agreement from time to time, or when issues come up, do you just talk about them and work it out?
Yeah, it's funny you asked that. I honestly haven't looked at that agreement in a couple of years, probably 2 years. So no, honestly, we don't really look at it much. Yeah. It's just been a matter of us, you know, we're both pulling the load together. We try to make sure that, that, you know, both people are pulling an equal amount of weight. And like I said, I think I'm very fortunate because my partner does want to pull the weight. You know, it's not like he's trying to shirk responsibility, nor am I. So it works out pretty well.
Yeah. So is there any downside? I mean, you own properties personally and you own properties with a partner. Is there any downside to the partnership?
I think there's definitely, you know, there's definitely pros and cons to partnership. I would say that the pros are that you can get into larger properties and you end up getting, you know, better price per unit, better returns in a lot of cases. The cons are you end up having a lot of conversations about things that you may not need to have a conversation about if you own the property yourself.
Right.
Like maybe you want to replace a toilet. I mean, it's not really a, you know, exciting thing to talk about, but you end up spending time talking about those types of things. But I mean, I think if you have the right partner, the pros greatly can outweigh the cons.
And how about the money? Did you guys both put in the same amount when you bought the property?
We did. Okay. Yeah. So this partner and I, we did 50-50 on both transactions.
And then how do you work cash flow? Like, do you put all the money back into improving the property, or do you guys take distributions as profit every month?
Sure. So both buildings were in some sense value add opportunities where there was a lot of things that need to be fixed from the previous owner, both from a management perspective and also just from, you know, the actual construction side. So we didn't take any cash flow from either property for over a year. So what we were doing is we were funneling it all back into the property, you know, making sure we got units turned, get rents up, you know, kind of stabilize our NOI. So now we're looking at it kind of as a quarterly distribution manner. So we just look at our finances and, you know, we take money out when we get above our reserve thresholds.
Okay. And tax-wise with the partnership, is it more complicated? Like, are there special things you need to do, or does that really fall into your partner's realm being the CPA? And
yeah, a good question. I would say one of the best things I did is partnering with a very good CPA. He does a great job on not just doing the taxes, but also the tax strategy portion of it.
Right.
So it's been pretty great, honestly. He does a fantastic job. I have started hiring him to do my personal taxes as well because he's a very good accountant.
That's great. I mean, it really sounds like you guys have the perfect partnership. That's really awesome. So I think it sounds like the key is that you guys communicate very, very easily. You're both on the same page and you have that foundation of the written agreement, even though you don't really refer to it up front. You clearly defined everyone's roles.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's important. That's something I've tried to do in any of the partnerships that I've had.
If you're interested in learning more about the Chicago market or you want to reach out to John, I've got his contact information on the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode 208. And if you are looking to finance a rental property, the lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She is really just an incredible lender. Her niche is lending on rental properties. She does them all, whether you are just getting started or if you've got a big portfolio. She's got a ton of different loan programs, and she can help you get the financing for your next rental property. You can find out more at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's RIDGE, lendinggroup.com, NMLS 42056. If you're looking to save some money the next time you need to rent a car, I definitely recommend you check out autoslash.com. This website's pretty cool. I've used it a couple of times. The way that it works is you go to autoslash.com, you put in the details on where you want to pick up the car, the dates that you need it for, and then autoslash.com gets to work and it will find every single discount out there. It will find every promo code. It will check any discounts you may be eligible for, like maybe if you're a AAA member or a Costco member. It will apply all the discounts and get you the cheapest rate out there to rent a car. Now, the magic to AutoSlash is that it doesn't stop working when it finds you a great rate. It continues to search the internet and continues to find better rates. And when it does, it will email you and let you know you can cancel the first reservation with no penalty and rebook a new reservation at the lower rate. The average user will get a couple of different rates, a couple of better rates when they rebook their reservation. And the average user saves 30% off the rate they can find on any other car rental site. So it's really, really very cool. It's totally free and definitely something you want to check out the next time you need to rent a car. The website again is autoslash.com. That's AUTOSLASH, autoslash.com. If this is your first time listening, make sure you subscribe and you'll get new episodes delivered to you automatically every single Tuesday. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.